We're continuing our study of the life of Joseph. And last week we talked about a good bit about Joseph's family background. And I know that many of you probably had not really examined that background in the manner that we did last week. And I want to review that a little bit today, talk a little bit about some of the challenges that Joseph had in being the family that he was in. If you remember last week, we talked about how Joseph ended up having the children that he had. I mean, not Joseph, excuse me, Jacob, the father of Joseph. And remember how Jacob wanted to marry, but instead of being able to marry the one that he wanted, they ended up, the father-in-law ended up deceiving them. And he ended up getting Leah, and then was able to marry the one that he wished, Rachel. And you begin to see in that a competition between the mothers. And the children being born by the mother itself, but by the handmaiden. Then you ended up with what was a very unhealthy situation in that home. Joseph had brothers, but he had brothers by very different mothers. And they had mothers that were very antagonistic to each other. And you would expect that. And when you talk about why the Lord has blessed us today with the marriage covenant that He's given us, one man, one woman for life, you can just go back to the patriarchs and you see the chaos and the competition and the backstabbing that would ensue from that. And so it could well be said that, honestly, the family of Jacob was a dysfunctional one. There was anger, there was backstabbing, and you see later in some of the things when we finished last week, we talked about the last example where the sons of Jacob ended up murdering and slaughtering a city deceitfully. And we read about that. And so you've got a situation here. We have to understand this, that when we get to the point where Joseph is betrayed by his brothers, you've got to understand the family. It was a mess. He may say, well, God says that He was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yes, He was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had problems in their home at times, particularly Jacob. And so, yeah, you can be a child of God and you can have issues and you can have children that are messes, and many of these children make progress, they come along, but it's important to understand when we're reading the book of Genesis that these weren't superheroes. They were men and women of faith in some cases. In some cases, their children weren't faithful and later became faithful. But it was quite a tough situation. And you know, and one of the things, and we won't go into my discussion list today very much, except to point out that what we do in our homes has a great impact of whether or not we instill faith in our children. If we're just from what we studied last week and some things you may have studied, in the household of Jacob, let's just make a quick list of things that were done that hindered faith. If you want to say you believe in God, both parents say they believe in God, but then they conduct themselves in such a way to tear that down. What do we see in Jacob's household, things that did that?
Partiality.
You're going to see that with Joseph, you know. We will see that. What else?
Rebecca was jealous of Leah.
Yeah. The mother's battling that. I want my child to get attention. I want my, you know, here's that battle. And so the children did that. And what do the children learn? When you have a house and you say, I believe in God, God is true, we're fulfilling His covenant promise, you're saying the right things. But what attitudes and actions could be in your heart, in your family heart, that on one hand you're trying to build faith and on the left hand you're tearing it down? How about anger, bitterness, deceit? That happens. Yeah, that happens. And you see that in children.
I will tell you what, I don't want to have the children of Jacob at this point in time where Joseph finds that out.
You know, that it's not a very pretty situation, but I'm not saying they were all bad. These would be the 12 tribes of Israel. This is where Israel comes from. And so, it is
interesting to me. I find that very fascinating. As you go through the book of Genesis, here are men and women of faith, but they made mistakes and there were consequences. And some of the mistakes were that the children were able to come on and do well. In some cases, they didn't. It was important. I'm glad in Jacob's case, his wife believed in God, wanted to serve God. But there's more to it than that as we begin to look at what is expected in the building of home. We need to be wise, and we need to teach our children to be wise. I've oftentimes said in our classes we have in the home, well, what's the greatest gift you can give to your children? If you would look at the priority as a husband and wife, as parents, one of the greatest gifts you can give your children is that you have a good relationship with one another. Children will learn from that. They'll learn how to deal with others with that. Of course, by the very nature of polygamy, you got a mess by that. Just the very nature of that arrangement. And so, I know we all will make mistakes in our homes. Let's work as hard as we can on the relationship we can with our neighbors. And we speak about God and we teach about God, and then they see in our lives the attitudes of Christ. And that's a challenge. Patriarchs didn't always fulfill that challenge, did they? And so, let's remember that. Now, let's talk about Joseph. You know, you look at Joseph and you could almost make this argument. God is setting him up for adversity. Could it be possible for God to take a faithful young person, much less an older person, and if they choose the path that God wants them to choose, they're going to suffer? Could we expect that of God? Oh, yes. Let me show you some things that Joseph was going to face. First off, he knew that the promises made to Abraham and Isaac were being fulfilled through his family. Another thing that he would have learned of, and this is a good thing, he would have learned about his own dad. Now, Jacob was always just a man of great integrity and strength, wasn't he? No, he wasn't. And we can make a list of his things. And it's quite interesting, what God does with Jacob, he does with really all the patriarchs, he makes them, over time, face their worst fears. And there's so many examples we could give. But here, one case of Jacob and the building of Jacob's faith. In Genesis 32:9, it says, "Then Jacob said, O God of my father and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and all the truth which you have shown your servant. For I have crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. For I fear him, lest he come and attack me with the mother and the children. For you said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." As you go on in Jacob's life, but he's humble. He's about to face Esau. He thinks his family is going to be slaughtered. This is good for Jacob. Jacob had to learn some things the hard way, but sometimes that's true of all of us. We're hard heads and we don't want to listen, and sometimes life beats it out of you. And we hope that that will happen with all of us when that happens. But now you see later in his life, he's humble, he's trusting God, he's praying God. That's not the early Jacob. And so Joseph would have learned some things from his father, particularly as his father is older. Now let's talk about some things about Joseph serving God. If you were to characterize a man who serves God, there are several things that you would find about him. I wrote an article, not that any article I write has any special value, but I wrote an article a little bit ago, put it in the bulletin. I titled it, "The Foundation of Spirituality, Honesty." And I really believe that's true. If God is going, if you're going to be a servant of God and God is going to work through you, you fundamentally have to be honest. What is it, Luke 8:15? Where in the Old King James, where it talks about the parable of the sower, the characteristic of the soil that was good, that would the seed would grow in, would be a good and honest heart. Let me show you what we read about Joseph. We finally read about him making decisions. Genesis 37:2. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the land was with the sons of Bilhah, the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. I was the little brother in my household. And you know what little brothers are known for? I used to love to see my brother get in trouble. I used to love to bring bad reports. Now, that's not integrity. I want to tell you what. It was meanness in my case. Matter of fact, there was one day I brought a false report to my parents just to see my brother get spanked. My brother kind of taught me not to do that again. Now, we'll talk about that at the time, how he did that. But there are ways. But I can remember it as the young kid, you know, I used to see my brother get punished. But here, I don't think in Joseph's case that's what this was about. Here there was a business. There was duties to be done. Did the passage say here that Joseph brought a false report? Now, what's going to happen in the household we described? How many brothers does Joseph have of record? What do we see? Yeah, what do we see in the case of the brothers he does have here? They're of other women. And here's that antagonism, that anger, that competition. Now, let me show you another problem. Joseph also had to suffer because of his father. Will a child ever have to suffer because of choices of their parents? Well, yeah, they all will. And I pray that mine will not be such that it will destroy my own children. We all will make mistakes. But notice the mistakes that's made here by Jacob. In Genesis 37 and verse 3 it says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children, because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him." Whose fault was this? Joseph do anything wrong? No. But that created a bad environment. Again, I go back to parents, you know, really important that we create the right environment for our children. Favoritism creates problems. Creates problems that could go throughout the life of a child. It's very important that we not go down that path. But it's not Joseph's fault. Now notice what else happens. One thing we do see, that Joseph never strikes back at his brothers. I mean, can you tell when somebody's angry with you? Not always. But if we go back here, could Joseph tell that his brothers were angry with him? Yeah, they could speak peacefully to him. Have you ever had anybody like that? So they're mad with you. You can't change them. You can't do anything you can do. If you say anything, you get lightning. Sometimes it's sarcastic, depending on the personality type. Sometimes it's subtle. That's frustrating. You know, I'm sure he was a man developing faith in God. And here, people, he has not done anything wrong. They won't have anything to do. And that's what the Bible tells us to do, is that Romans 12:17, repay no one evil for evil. Romans 12:19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Joseph did that. Joseph did those things. But now God creates, you know, you think he's already in what I could say the pot, the boiling pot, the pressure cooker. And guess what God does next? God does some things to turn up the heat. We can read the verse. You tell me, what does God do that creates problems for Joseph with his brothers and with his parents? Well, let's read. Now Joseph had a dream, Genesis 37:5. And he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. Now, who gave Joseph the dream?
God.
Did God want him to tell other people? I mean, you had a dream from God.
I think it was fine to tell his brothers about it.
Now, they'll go and tell his parents. Now, that will go well, won't it? Verse 6. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood up aright, and indeed your sheaf stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf."
Uh-oh.
"And his brother said to him, 'Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?' So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brother and said, 'Look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowed down to me.' So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, 'What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?' And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind." I mean, the situation was bad enough. Did Joseph do anything wrong in this? I want to tell you, when we talk about having dreams, it's not like having a dream like you and I have a dream. This was a dream from God. What did Nebuchadnezzar do when he got a dream from God? Did he think, "Oh, I wonder what this is"? This was just a little different from any dream I had. You know, when you have a dream from God, and we're talking about inspiration here today, where God was working in those manners, I'm suggesting that He does that today. But you know that was different. And when God speaks to you, what would you naturally want to do? If God speaks to you, what do you want to do with that message? You want to share it with those that are most important to you. Did the brothers and the parents correctly interpret Joseph's dreams? Yeah, they did. And they were angry. But why should they be angry? Did it happen?
God told them ahead of time it's going to happen.
But let's go back to this question. I just raised this to you, class, and we can have some discussion here. What's God doing? What is God doing by revealing the truth of the future at this point in time? Anybody want to take a stab at that?
Helping to prepare their minds for the future events.
Prepare their minds for the future events, indeed. And they would trust God and believe in God when it happened and come to see that. Why that's something. Some of my views are speculative, but you know, that's absolutely right, yes.
And he was something to bring it about.
He was. And bring what about?
Well, I mean, his brothers got so angry with him that they were ready to just
hear
about
him. Yes.
That's
nothing wrong. Yeah, I think he's wrong. I think God is helping to bring about the terrible sin of his brothers. Not that he's responsible for sin. To me, this is similar to Pharaoh. Did God harden Pharaoh's heart?
Yeah.
How? Let's speak the truth. And he knew where Pharaoh was, and Pharaoh was at that time. And you can serve God and be used by God, and you can be at a point in time where you're at contrary to God's will, and God instead use you to do evil. And it's still good to be accomplished by it in the sense of God's plan. I think it's very likely that what God is doing here is creating a situation where the brothers at this time in their anger will do something that they later repent of. They're not quite like Pharaoh. He never repents. These brothers later will repent. But sometimes some of the best things that can happen to us in our life when our heart is not right with God is for Him to allow things to His providential care. Not the miraculous actions that we say here, but in our life, sometimes the best thing that can happen to us is for us to crash and burn and hurt. And God can then take something when we repent. God can take us and take something else. And so God is not only working with Joseph here. What's the overall plan? Remember the overall plan. We've talked about this the last week of the study. What's the overall plan that God has here? He's trying to build a what? A nation. So he's not only helping Joseph, but he's going to be helping Jacob and his brothers. And it's quite interesting how that comes about. Any other discussion on this? Because this is very interesting if you think about God's working, how he works in life. I pray that we'll always be the kind of people that we do right. But if we get the wrong kind of attitudes in our hearts, if we're going down the wrong path in our actions, I pray that God, and I'm sure He will, He'll bring adversity. And I hope that adversity will be one that will cause us to change our lives when that day comes. Now we'll notice what happens next. Talking about Joseph serving God. Here, his parents are upset. What to think about it? If you're Joseph, you're a 17-year-old boy. God just gave you a revelation. And everybody's laughing at you. Everybody's angry with you. Your own dad is angry with you. You were rebuked by your parents. He goes ahead and does right. Genesis 37:14. Then he said to him, "Please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring back word to me." So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. Now a certain man found him, and there he was wandering in the field, and a man asked him, saying, "What are you seeking?" And he said, "I'm seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flock." And the man says, "They have departed from here, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. I always liked that verse when I was living in Abbeville, Alabama. "Let us go to Dothan," just a little 30-minute drive south. But anyway, I'm sure that's where Dothan got his name. But here, one thing about Joseph, what he does, he keeps serving God. He keeps obeying his parents. He's got a tough environment, but he keeps on keeping on. That's probably about it. We keep on doing right. Some discussion. What wrong attitudes could Joseph have displayed and blinded on his family? Let's talk about Joseph. Let's try to justify Joseph falling away from God, which we can't. But let's say here's a young person in what some people might react to in terms of what has happened. What could have Joseph done?
A lot of times we try to avoid people that we know are angry with us. And instead of Joseph saying, "Here I am," when his father called him, he could have gone somewhere else and avoided the whole situation.
Could he stop obeying his father? What could he say about the religion of his father? "I spoke to my dad and Jack. Here, my dad, here he is, Mr. Super Child of God. And look at the brothers in this home. Look at the mess of this home. I must not be right with you. I've got to find right with you." Good. Anybody else want to suggest some possible reactions that he could have had? You know, you can make a good list here. And the point would have been, if he had done like some young people do, because of hypocrisy in the home and inconsistency in the home, they said, "Well, we've got to jump the track." They would have been wrong. Would he have been excused for rejecting the God that his dad served because of his dad's inconsistencies? No. Okay, next question. What made Joseph stand out from his brothers? From what we know of him, what made Joseph stand out? Bad report, we don't know what the bad report that he brought about his brother, but we can say that it was true. What's the characteristic of Joseph? I believe it's his faith in God, his honesty, his sincerity, his service. I don't think his brothers were there. The brothers who had murdered people earlier, the brothers who later would sell him into slavery, they were self-centered. A child of God is not self-centered. And wouldn't everybody love a child of God? Wouldn't everybody love somebody that is serving? And how do people work? If you're in a group of people and you are different, people love you for that. Not as a group. We are social people. We have people. Sometimes, if you live differently, and if somebody else has, let's say, you have a standard of integrity that's greater than others, and without saying a word, your actions can make people uncomfortable. So just be mindful of that.
Here, Joseph
Let me ask you this. Was this conflict good for Joseph? For Joseph to stand for what's right and nobody seemed to recognize it and for people to speak bad of him? Was that good for Joseph? I heard a yes. Who said yes? Why? Let's open our Bibles, if we could, to Romans 5, 3 through 5. That this would bear this out. Do you want to grow in faith? Sure, we all want to grow. I'm reading from the New American Standard here. I just happened to grab that translation. Listen to this. To serve God and do right and suffer for it is a great tool God will use in your and my life to make us stronger. Notice the attitude, Romans 5, verse 3. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations. King James is glory. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. You become a leader, you got to go through the crucible of sufferings of cross. And Joseph was in the low pressure cooker at 17 years old. And we can say that about Daniel too, couldn't we? Those of you in our study last quarter about Daniel. So this was good for Joseph. And it ended up being good for his brothers. Any other comments on this question? Make sure you have anger out of your hearts. But that anger and bitterness, this is a process God will use. And again, I think we've answered number 3. What should we do when one mistreats us? We should repay good for evil. Always do that. Is it easy walking by faith? No. No, it is not. Okay, and one more time. Why does God allow temptation to come into our lives? Again, it goes back to the answer that we gave earlier. Temptation will come, 1 Corinthians 10:12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now, let's go a little further, if we could, in our study. Let's talk about what now happens because of these seeds. What you're having here in the... my PowerPoint just stopped working. Okay. Anybody upstairs? Maybe not. Okay, who knows why they... Okay, I'll switch to manual mode. We'll have to open our Bibles and read the verses rather than see them. Okay, we up? Okay. All right, very good. All right. When you've got a situation like we've got here in a home, not good communication with parents and children. Children hating one another. That's just, if you just leave them alone, it's all going to get fixed, won't it? No. This is where the head of the house, the man, needs to step up and fix it. But Joseph doesn't have enough information probably to know what's going on. And we'll see that later in how he was deceived by his own sons. Now, what happens when you plant the seeds of bitterness and anger and somebody loves somebody more than you? You've got those things. Do they just stay the same? Oh, go ahead. They grow. And so that's what happens here. What you're going to see is you're going to see this, the seeds of Satan planted, not dealt with in the home, and we're going to see them blossom. Galatians 5:19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. Now notice the anger family. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions. He goes on, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, but those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so what's going to happen here? These things are not going to be dealt with. They're going to grow. That's why it's really important in a family and even in a local church. You see those seeds. As Barney Fife would say, you got to nip it in the bud. You got to find a way to get those attitudes out and deal with them. But you don't always see they're there, do you? I mean, any kind of ecumenical society, we're always going to have some of those kind of issues. And it would be good if you could see them in your heart and get them out. But if somebody else sees them, we've got to deal with those because they won't stay. They're just seeds. Uncontrolled anger, is it wrong to have a bitterness towards somebody else? I mean, you're not saying anything, you're not doing anything. Could that be sin? Just having a lousy attitude towards somebody, wanting bad to happen on them, isn't that just a little flea bite? Why does the Bible say about that? 1 John 3:15, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. No, it's not a flea bite. Here's what happens. We'll read the account together. Well, I guess I did put the text out. So let's read it together. And then Genesis 37:18-36. And basically what you see here is now this problem that has not been dealt with finally come to fruition. Joseph goes to his brothers. And his brothers see him coming. And all that anger finally takes hold. It says, Genesis 37:18 says, when they saw him from a distance, and before he came close to them, they plotted against him to put him to death. And notice here, that's what anger will do. You start thinking about it, then you start dreaming of ways to fulfill your desire for vengeance. Verse 19, and they said to one another, here comes this dreamer. What are they thinking about there? The dreams God gave them. Now then, come and let us kill him. And throw him in one of the pits, and we will say a wild beast devoured him. And let us see what will become of his dreams. Yeah, those thoughts are turning into actions, aren't they? But Reuben heard this and rescued him out of their hands and said, let us not take his life. Reuben further said to them, shed no blood. Throw him into the pit, into the wilderness, but do not lay hands on him, that he may rescue him out of their hands and restore him to his father. Now, what's Reuben doing? Reuben's trying to solve a problem by deceit. He's going to try to solve the problem because he's afraid of the angry people, and so he was going to let them be put in the pit, and he's going to get them out of the pit, and everything's going to be okay. But what's the problem here? Well, you know the problem. They put him in the pit, verse 23, so it came about when Joseph reached his brothers, they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the very clothed tunic that was on him, and they put him and threw him into the pit. Now the pit was empty without any water in it. Now you leave somebody in a pit they can't crawl out of with no water, what are you doing? You're killing them. They think they're going to kill them. And so then they sat down to eat a meal. Now notice he hasn't had any water, any food. And as they raised their eyes and looked, behold, the caravan of the Ishmaelites was coming from Gilead with their camels bearing aromatic gum and balm and myrrh and on their way to bring them down to Egypt. And Judah said to his brothers, what profit is it for us to kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let us sell him into the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh. Wow, what mercy. And his brothers listened to him. And some Midianite traders passed by and they pulled him up and lifted Joseph out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. Thus they brought Joseph into Egypt. He goes on, and we see later, they we'll read down to verse 31. They took Joseph's tunic, slaughtered a male goat, dipped the tunic in the blood, and they sent the very colored tunic and brought it to their father and said, we found this, please examine it to see whether it's your son's tunic or not. Then he examined it and said, it's my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces. So Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his loins, and mourned for his son many days. Then all of his sons and all of his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, surely I'll go down to Sheol in mourning for my son. So his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold him into Egypt to Potiphar, Pharaoh's officer, the captain of the bodyguard. Next week I want to pick up with lesson two. But we see here a situation where we now see Joseph sold in slavery. We'll talk about that, what it would mean to be a slave in Egypt. And the fascinating thing, as you know the story, is that here Joseph is doing right. God is preparing Joseph. And we're about to see now Joseph, it's like he's going to be taken on a spaceship to another planet. His world is going to change. The people he knows is going to change. The food that he eats is going to change. The language is going to change. We're going to see Joseph now, his life changed radically for no fault of his own. We'll go next week and pick up and show you what God does with him and how God helps him. Any comments before that second bell rings? Yes.
I have a question.
Okay.
What Reuben did he do it out of love for Joseph, out of love for his dad, or out of love for himself? Or even ask that question. I don't know, but when he says, in verse 30, when he talks to his brothers, and he returned to his brothers and said, "Glad is no more, and where shall I go?" It's like he's a little bit worried about himself as far as the love of dad and the second service. Maybe he was the one responsible for Joseph, but I don't know if it was out of his love for his dad or out of love for Joseph.
We'll pick that up and develop it a little bit next week, but the truth is, when they came to Joseph, was Reuben accepted from the responsibility? Was there an exception? Reuben stood. No. I would have to conclude it was not a godly action that he was taking, but a self-centered action. If he was godly, he would have stood up and been in the pit with Joseph. And so that's the point here. He tried a cowardly, sneaky, worldly way out, and his plan failed. And then as worldly sorrow goes, this is worldly sorrow, not godly sorrow. He worries about himself. Does he ever tell his father the truth? No. So it's not godly sorrow. This man's heart is not right with God. He's almost like Pilate, isn't he? I tried. I washed my hands. I really took a stand. No. Here was a man that was not right with God, and there was a lot of suffering that came from him. Thank you. Appreciate your participation today.